the Gentiles. This is the theme that we are going to look at in Acts chapter 10 and verses 34 to 48. A few weeks ago, you have heard a preaching on the salvation for the Gentiles. And we have here in this passage the salvation of the Gentiles. We thank God for this word that He has for us. Let us read first this. I will read this for you before we will go through the exposition of this passage. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out a gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen. The Lord add his blessings upon the reading of his most holy and precious word. We heard so much, we hear so much today of this anti-Semitism, riots after riots, universities, colleges in America is now at very troublesome. There are so many demonstrations, strikes. Students are shouting from the river up to the sea or down to the sea. Well, they may have different interpretations of what they are shouting at. There are some who don't even understand why they shout such phrase. They say, "We want peace," but actually these words are the demands for the Jewish people to be eliminated. Another Holocaust is called. Another kind of genocide is called upon against the Jews. And this is because we are now in the end times. It is prophesied even by the Lord Jesus Christ how the people will go against the Jews, Israel. In the book of Revelation, we know at the final end of the great tribulation, how all the armies of the earth will gather together and fight against the people of God. And what we are hearing and what we are witnessing in television, in our news, in our phones, we see the great anger and hatred against the Jews. And this is fueled by the enemy, Satan. For by hating the Jews, hating Israel, we know that it also hated the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a Jew. And hating the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a Jew, is hating his offer of salvation for all men. We have to understand this afternoon, salvation is of the Gentiles, is of the Jews. Salvation of the Gentiles is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no such salvation outside of the Judeo-Christian faith. There is no salvation apart from what has been revealed to the Jews, to Israel, in the Scripture. So we have to understand the importance of why, as Christians, we pray for Israel. Why we pray for the nation of Israel. Why we pray for the peace in Jerusalem. We are not in favor of the atrocities committed by Israel today. We are not in favor of the many people who are killed by the attacks in Gaza. But we have to understand the biblical perspective of why we should pray for Israel, why we should pray for Jerusalem, and why we should be thankful of Israel, and why we should be thankful of the Jews. For indeed, the salvation of the Gentiles is of the Jews. As we look at this passage, we have these four things that we can see and understand from how Luke gave us the narrative on how Peter went into the house of Cornelius and saw the salvation of Cornelius and his household, even his friends around. And we see that these biblical principles that we see in this passage is still applicable today. In fact, this is what we believe. And to oppose the Jews and to oppose Israel and to oppose the Jesus of Nazareth is to oppose the offer of peace, the offer of salvation to all men. First, we shall understand the salvation of the Gentiles is for every nation. The salvation of the Gentiles was promised to Abraham. If you look back into the scriptures, back into the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 12, this was the call. Yes, it was a call for Abraham to go into Canaan and to start and to be the father of one nation. But we have here the truth. He says here in verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation," and that is Israel, "and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." You will not just establish a great nation, you will be a blessing. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." All the families of the earth be blessed. It is through the witness of this one man called by God to start a great nation of Israel, and through him and through the seed from his loins came Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, and then into King David and towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. "I will bless them that bless thee," take note of this, "and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Let us not forget this promise of God, for our God is an unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has clearly promised that this salvation is for all, Because he says here, as Peter opened his mouth, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, this word respecter of persons is just used once in the New Testament, and this is here specifically without discrimination. Whatever race, whatever religion that this nation has, we have this promise that indeed God will save some in each nation. All nations. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned the Christians to go and teach all nations. We are not to go into a Christian-influenced country. We are not to make a Christian nation great again. We are to make every nation bow down and kowtow and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the plan of God. Salvation of the Gentiles. It is because God has planned that Abraham will be a blessing to as many families of all the earth, all nations shall come before God, will bow down their knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, if you look at this verse 35, you might ask, is this a work-related salvation? Is this a work salvation? Why? Peter says here, you have to fear God and work righteousness so that you will be accepted. Now, we have to understand this in the light of Cornelius coming before God. We know that he did not had this privilege to hear of the word of God because of what he has done, because of who he is. But it is because of his fear of God and his desire to work for righteousness. Now, when we fear God, we know that there is judgment. We know that we are sinners. We know that we are to be punished and to be condemned. That's the fear of God. We know God is just. He will judge this world. And everyone who comes to him, all of us must appear before the judgment throne of God. And we shall be judged. And that's why people who are fearful of God desire to do what is right. But in doing what is right, we know and we understand that we cannot do it. If we are true and honest to ourselves, how much we try to do what is right, we always fail. How much we do and strive to do and fulfill the commandments of God, we always will be a failure. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, we know that those who fear and those who fear God and work righteousness are those people who realize they cannot do anything for their salvation. And those who are not fearing God, they just do anyhow, they just do their lives without desiring to fulfill God's word, and they think they are right before God. But those who are fearful of the gods of God's laws and desire to work righteousness realize how much they fail the Lord. And they are the people who seek after God, who wants to know what is the way of salvation. And that was Cornelius. He was not contented that he will know this God and offer alms and do what is right for other people. He must know the way to the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God showed him through Peter. There must be preaching of God's word unto him and to his household. So salvation is for every nation. That was the promise of God. That's why Gentiles, we are Gentiles. Gentiles are saved because that was God's plan and promise, that every nation will come before him and seek for his favor. And that is for all those who fear God and desire to labor and work righteousness. Are we fearing God? In today's world, there are so many who don't fear God. They are not in any way having this reverence and respect of God. They think they can do what is right. They think they can do what they think is right. And that's how we see today. Riots and all these strikes and all these demonstrations and pointing to the chosen nation of God as the enemy of the world. And indeed it will come. The nations of the world will rise up against God. This is the time that we are seeing the building up of the Antichrist kingdom, wherein the world is influenced to fight and to look at Israel, the Jews, and even Christ, Jesus Christ, who's a Jew himself, to be the enemy of the people. And so we see here that salvation of the Gentiles is a promise of God. It is the promise that in every nation there is this offer of blessing of salvation. Now we have to look at verses 36 and 41. And Peter here clearly showed that not only the salvation is for every nation, that's why Gentiles are saved, but we have to understand there is no other way by which Gentiles can be saved. Jesus Christ in John chapter 4, and he says there that there is no other salvation apart from the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way apart from the Judeo-Christian faith. Hatred against Israel, anti-Semitism today, is part of Satan's tactic to bring the people away from this offer of salvation. And indeed, Peter says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, it was not sent to any other tribe. It was not sent to any other nation but Israel. That was how it was revealed. Abraham received it. Moses wrote it. The prophets, they were the one who composed and wrote the Old Testament. And the New Testament is based on the Old Testament. We cannot take out the Old Testament from the Scriptures. Taking out the Old Testament would bring the New Testament meaningless. We cannot understand what is sin if we don't know that man fell in the Garden of Eden. We cannot know that there is the burning of this earth at the end of days when we don't accept and understand that there was a global flood in the time of Noah. There is this connection, and our New Testament is based upon the Old Testament. And this Old Testament given to the Jews. By the way, if you say Old Testament to the Jews, they will be angry at you. They don't like the idea that their Testament, their Bible is old. For us Christians, it's not old, that is obsolete. It was old because it was in the past. So we have this scripture, the word, sent unto the children of Israel. It was not sent to any Gentile world. And it was preached by Jesus Christ. So he's a Jew himself. Even though he came unto his own and his own received him not, he was still, and he is, a Jew. And being a man that will continue to be a man, he will always have that identity as a Jew. And that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea. So the start, even in the church, the first church was at Jerusalem. It began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Yes, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, it started in Galilee and in Jordan and in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the first church, the infant church, the beginning of the Christian church. And he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Jesus of Nazareth. It was not a Jesus of Syria, Jesus of Rome, Jesus of Ethiopia. It was a Jesus of Nazareth in Canaan, in Israel. And let us understand also, Jesus in those days, by the way, was a name that was common. It was so common that they have to identify Jesus of Nazareth. He grew up in Nazareth, although he was born in Bethlehem. And he was anointed. And he grew up in that small piece of territory in Israel. Could he be just be allowed to live and grow in Egypt or in another island, in another place? No, it was in Israel. It was God's choice. Israel is God's chosen nation. Even though how much evil they have done today, and we cannot deny that, they are still God's chosen nation. Why God continues to love them? You can ask them when you meet God in heaven. That's how God continues on to love them. Let us look back in Deuteronomy 7:7, and that was actually what Moses expressed to them. Here, I will read from verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 7. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And maybe you disagree with these words because today you cannot find any holy thing in Israel with what they are doing. But he says here, thou art an holy people. Thou art a separated people. Thou art sanctified. I set you apart. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Why? It is only God who knows. Above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Why not the Filipinos? Why not the Chinese? Why not the Indians? It is the nation of Israel, the people, the Jew. The Lord did not set his love upon you. And this is God telling them, the Lord Jehovah did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. Now they were, today it is estimated that they have only around 15 million people, Jews. That's an estimate, 7 in Israel itself, and around 8 outside of Israel, because there are many Jews. In fact, in Singapore, you have Jews also. There's a synagogue there are synagogues in Singapore. But he says here, you were not chosen because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people. Probably not today, but they were the fewest of all people at that time. And why did God choose them? And we understand that they are still a chosen nation of God until today. Please don't be fooled by this doctrine on the replacement theory, where they say, oh, Israel is no more. Israel is cast out. It's the church that replaced Israel. No. It is very clear in the book of Romans, in the epistle of Paul to the Romans, how God still has his eyes for Israel. And in the book of Revelation, even though how sinful are these people, God still look at them as his chosen ones. Yes, salvation is of the Jews because the Lord Jesus Christ himself is a Jew. He was anointed as the one who will do good on our behalf. He showed himself as God because he healed all the diseases, all that were oppressed. He had the power to perform miracles. He is himself God. God was with him, not that he was man and became God. He is God himself, the Word, who was with God from the beginning and became flesh and dwelt among us. And Peter continued, we are witnesses of all things. We were with him We saw him during the transfiguration. I saw him, and I saw the witnesses. And I saw when he was tried, how he gave himself to die for us. And I was into the tomb when I went in and saw that there was nobody there, nothing left. He was raised from the dead. That was the conviction of Peter. And he knew that after the resurrection, though he wanted to fish and to do his own thing, he realized that he cannot do anything. Whole night, again, the Lord showed him, "You cannot do anything, Peter, apart from me." There was no fish caught. If you can remember that in the Gospel of John. And then later, the Lord Jesus Christ called them, hey, guys, do you have any fish, any kind of food? He said, "No, all night we fished, but we cannot get even one." And then Jesus says, "Cast your net at the other side, at the right side." And we got this number of big and large fishes. And even before they brought the fish into the shore, Jesus prepared already food for them. That's how Peter understood, this is my Lord, my Savior, my God. I am a witness. And he became a brave, courageous preacher. One who first denied Christ, one who ran away, one who didn't want Jesus Christ to be crucified. Now he is preaching the Christ who was hanged on a tree. And he had the courage to say, "You slew him. You killed him." Although we have to understand that, including Peter and all of us, are the reasons why he was crucified. During the days of Reformation, Martin Luther was also anti-Jew. And one of the reasons was because the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to understand, all of us, we are all the reasons why he was put there. It was not only of the Jews. Salvation of the Gentiles is because Jesus Christ died also for us. He did not die only for the Jews. He died also for the Gentiles. And that's what we have to be thankful of. Because in the days of Peter and the apostles, the first part of the beginning of the church, they did not believe that there are Gentiles that will come before Jesus to receive him. They thought that the Gentiles are just good as fuel for hell. That's why they don't want to go into Gentile houses. They didn't want to entertain Gentiles because they were sure, even the Samaritans, they were sure to be cast into the lake of fire. They are just fuels to keep the hell burning. That's what they thought. And so Peter also was hesitant to go into Cornelius' house. But here he was courageous, with love, declared that indeed it is only through Christ. Salvation of the Jews and salvation of the Gentiles is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. And it's only by faith alone. Not by any additional works or any other ceremonies. The Jews were saved by faith in looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. The Gentiles are saved by faith in looking back what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. That is what Peter here described, that here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Jews. Salvation of the Gentiles is a promise of God to all nations. Salvation of the Gentiles is of the Jews alone because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's provision for our salvation. The third one is that Peter described that this is a salvation, this salvation which is not just for all nations, but it is for all people, all individual who will come to the knowledge and who will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a sweeping salvation to all nations, that it is a salvation to America. You can hear today of this Christian nationalism. Let us make America great again. That is not the way wherein salvation can be done in each nation. It is individual. It is every repentant sinners who will come by faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter clearly tells us, he commanded us to preach unto the people. That's why there is preaching. It is not just to label a certain nation to be Christian. It is not just to put a certain Christian name before a nation or label your Bibles with your national flag that will not make a nation Christian. What will make a Christian or a person Christian is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is individual. Whosoever cometh, whosoever believeth, whosoever trusteth in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. He commanded us to preach. That's why we continue to preach. It is not just putting flags on the Bible. It is preaching God's word to convict the heart of every sinner to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true both to the Jews and the Gentiles. You probably can see in some of these videos showing how the Messianic Jews tries to win the Jews, the ultra-Orthodox Jews. Now they're all Jews, but somehow the ultra-Orthodox Jews doesn't like the idea where they point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time they introduce Isaiah 53, they will always say, "Oh, I know where you are leading." We don't want to hear that. That is to be interpreted only by the rabbi. And one rabbi was asked. I saw this documentary. One rabbi was asked. And he was not saying, and he says, this Isaiah 53 is not talking of a person. It's talking of a nation. It's talking about Israel. This is the one who will be scourged, and you see how Israel today is being scourged, how he is beaten, how he is suffering. This is the nation of Israel. It's not talking about Jesus. So you see how blinded they are. The Jews, Gentiles, both by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there is preaching of God's word. And I thank God that we have this missions work to testify that it is indeed through him which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead, the living and the dead. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. We thank the Lord that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in him. No condemnation. We are to come before him in the bema seat of Christ to receive his reward. We will no longer appear before him in the great white throne, where all who will come there, the dead, will be cast with their hell into the lake of fire. We praise the Lord, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And then we see here that this was preached to all the prophets and again to the apostles, that whosoever, it is individual. It is not because your parents are Christians you are saved. It's not because you are part of a church that you are saved. It's not because your name is in the roll of Calvary Tenga that you are a Christian and you are saved. Please understand that it's only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether your name is listed in this roll in the church or not, it must be in the book of life when you truly have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It's not a sweeping cleansing because you are part of a nation. You are not given the forgiveness of sins because you are a part of this tribe or a family. We can only be forgiven. Salvation is upon us. Salvation is of the Gentiles or is upon the Gentiles through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we receive that remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, total cleansing. Not one jot will be found there to accuse us, not one blemish to show that we can be thrown out of the paradise. We are totally pure, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Salvation of the Gentiles, it is a promise of God. And it was done through Abraham and to the Jewish people. It is through the Judeo-Christian faith that we can come to Christ. It is God's provision also, as we know it is of the Jews, because it is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's particular because it is for individual people. It's not a sweeping salvation for one nation. And here we have in this last few verses how we thank the Lord that indeed salvation of the Gentiles is a gift of God. Yes, He provided it for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But He gave this through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who quickens us. And this is familiar to all of us. But we have to remind ourselves, it is not by our own works, it is not by our own desire, it is not by our own prompting that we come to God and seek after Him and look for the salvation that we desire in life. No, if we are left alone by God, without the Spirit of God quickening us, we will never desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. It is only by the Spirit of God when He quickens us, made us alive, and realize that we have sinned against God and that we need a Savior. We thank God for this. It is by His choosing. And it's also the same with Israel. They were chosen by God. Gentiles also. We are chosen and elected by God even from the foundation of this world. And we come before Him not because we have that inkling and inclination to come to Christ. It is only by His prompting. Do you realize this? We have to recall that because it is only of the Lord. And if we know that it's indeed God's providence, that we come to Him by the prompting of the Spirit of God upon us, we cannot claim anything from ourselves. And we always have that praise and glory back to God. That's why every Christian who received this genuine salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ must have this faithfulness and loyalty to the Lord Jesus, because it was not of us. It is not because of how we live for the Lord. It is because of how He chooses us that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while Peter spake these words, so important in here is the preaching of God's word. There is no prompting, there is no falling upon one person without the preaching of God. It is by hearing of the word of God that faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There must be preaching. And that's why we have to continue on teaching, preaching, sharing, giving, distributing, tracting, so that people will read, will hear God's word. And it is through the preaching of God's word that the Holy Ghost used that word as a power to save those who are yet in their sins. It is the power of God. And we see here how the Holy Ghost fell on them, on all them which heard the word. It did not fall on those who were outside. It did not fall on those who are far from them. It was only for those who heard the word. That's why it's important for us to listen to God's word. There are many people who come to church and doesn't want even to hear God's word. They plug their ears, especially our young people today, and they have the noise-canceling device. They just come there to make themselves appear before others that they are in the church, but actually they don't listen anything. They don't want to hear God's word. Without the word of God, there is no prompting from the Spirit of God. There is no hope for these people. They are the one who bars and keep themselves away from God's grace. Let us understand it is important for us to hear God's word. And it is the prompting of the Holy Spirit upon us. And they were astonished. They were so amazed. In fact, in this word, astonished, they trembled. Because they could not believe. They could not believe why Gentiles can be saved. But it's through the power of the Spirit of God fell upon them. And as many as came with Peter, they were astonished. And they saw how God proved that indeed there is salvation of the Gentiles by pouring upon them, filling them with the Holy Spirit, causing them to speak with other languages. Take note, please don't be deceived by the idea of gibberish tongue speaking. This is not la 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 la. They were proclaiming the glorious message of God. They glorified God. They talk about the wonderful works of God, and they understood it. In fact, they said they heard them speak with languages. The word tongue there is languages. It's not gibberish. It's not words without any meaning. And take note, it is clear why we know that it was with meaning. It was a language. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. We have to read the scriptures. It's very clear in every verse, speaking with tongues is always magnifying God, glorifying God, telling of the wonderful works of God. It is not gibberish speaking. So Peter concluded, well, these people are truly saved. They receive the Holy Spirit of God. It is with power because they were able to speak with other tongues. And they understood it. And so he says, can any man forbid water? So in other circles of and denominations of the Christian, of Christendom today, they would say, oh, that is enough. Second baptism, the pouring of the Holy Spirit, that's all. No. There are two sacraments in this church, and one of which we have the Lord's Supper, and one of which is the water baptism. And that's why we have to submit. It's not just the gift, it is giving ourselves to publicly declare the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord. And here we have, no man can forbid water, and that they were baptized at that time. And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, this should be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as what the Lord Jesus Christ taught them in his great commission. And they continued on. They prayed with them and tarried certain days. Tarrying certain days is not just to be with them, to chit-chat and eat or what, but I believe, and this is what most theologians and even Christians believe, that Peter continued to teach them the Word of God, to strengthen them, to build them up, to tell them of what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have here that what the Lord has done for this people. Indeed, there is salvation of the Gentiles. And the testimony of this salvation is you and me. We are all Gentiles and we are saved. And we know this is a promise of God to all nations. And we know that God provided His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us. We understand also that it's particular because it is only for those who believe. It is not national. It is not tribal. Now, in some other parts, like in the Philippines, they, among those who are in the mountain tribes, some missionaries would go first to the datu, to the chieftain. And this chieftain will be contacted, and if he will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then all of the people in the tribe will become Christians. Even though they did not know, even though they have not heard of what about this Jesus, since they belong to the tribe, they are already considered as Christians. That is not true. We have to individually come before God. That is also the same in the church. It is not because our parents are believers or deacons or elders or pastors or preachers that we too are automatically born again believers. We have to individually come before God. Whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. And it's by God's providence that in fact here we can see how God provided them this Holy Spirit. They were saved, they believed, and there was a sign by which to show that indeed it is genuine. Not just acting, not just pretending, but it was genuine salvation as the Spirit of God showed to Peter. This salvation also is of the Gentiles. And that's what we have to understand. We may not agree, and I believe most of you, most of us would not agree with what Israel is doing today. Yes. And how can God continue to see them as His chosen nation in spite of what they are doing? They are a chosen nation. When God chooses, He will be faithful to this nation. And He will be faithful to the end. And if we question why God continues to choose Israel until today, we better ask ourselves, Lord, why did you choose me? We may see Israel as sinful, as evil. Look at your life. Let me also look at my own life. Am I worthy to be called as one chosen of God? From day to day, I realize, Lord, how come that you chose me? How come that you're still faithful to me? How come that you still promise that once saved, always saved? And how come that in many times that I sin, when I come before you to confess, you have promised that when I confess my sins before you, you are ready, you are just, you are faithful to forgive me of my sins? And how we dare accuse the Jews, Israel? They must be out. They must not be a chosen nation of God because they do all this evil today. It's the same as the church. In fact, the church is worse than the nation of Israel. Don't think the church replaced Israel. If there is a replacement, that should be a replacement that we should be out and be condemned because we have gone far away from God. If majority of the people in Israel are atheists and they still call to be a chosen nation of God, people in the church today are apostates. Majority of the churches today are apostates. They have fallen away. They've turned away from God. And even in what we call sound churches today, only few we can count by our fingers and our hands, those who are faithful to the Lord? And can we say, can we shout with those writers? These people are not ignorant. They are in the Ivy Leagues. There are great universities in America. And yet they shout this. And this is the spirit of Satan influencing so many people today to go against Israel, anti-Semitism, go against the Jews, go against the God of the Jews, go against the Savior, the Lord, who is a Jew. And I pray we cannot do anything for this nation. What we have to pray is for the peace of Jerusalem. And indeed, that was the call. The psalmist who praised this is also asking us and telling us to continue this prayer. Let me close this message with Psalm 122. A song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And after the great tribulation, during the war at Armageddon, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back into this world together with us, will be raptured and will be resurrected. And where is the throne of God? Where is the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ be located? It is in the city of Jerusalem. It is the throne of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. And the only way by which there is peace in Jerusalem is for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will come soon. And we know it is soon, sooner than we think. But let's be prepared also to continue on preaching and teaching God's word, so that there are still many who will come to the saving grace of Christ, who will repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is still salvation of the Gentiles, and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Judeo-Christian faith, through the scriptures, as founded upon the prophets, Moses and the prophets, and is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Salvation of the Gentiles is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray.